wonderful partners. I'm glad you're with me today. And we are live right now. And thank you for joining me. I'm going to just say my hellos. This is Thursday today. And I'm talking today about embracing the cross, a very important, very powerful teaching that really needs to be understood. So I'm going to wait till you all come on. I just noticed they ran yesterday, 2 hours ago. We've got to talk to our staff to not do that. It's too close to the live one I'm doing now. Because sometimes my staff runs yesterday in the morning. So I just noticed they just ran it this morning, 2 hours ago. So that's we'll have to change that. Because that's too much coming to you at one time. Anyways, I'll wait till you all come on, you sweet people. So hello to Sugi. Hello to Jabba. Hello to Jason and Robbie and Felipe. Bless you. Today's teaching is really important. And I want you to share this with your friends. Embracing the cross. Because that's the place of safety from the enemy. There is no other place of safety from the enemy. But that blessed place where we live the crucified life. And I'm going to explain that to you today so you don't misunderstand anything. Because I think it's very, very important that when we talk about the crucified life, what does it really mean? What does it mean? And there's not much today that you hear about to do with that, I mean. So that's why I really want to talk about it. Hello to Felipe. Hello to Judith from Malaysia. Hello to Sugi and Giselle. Hello to Josephine. Hello to Namshi. Hello to Margarita. Hello to Elena. And again, this is live. This is live. What you saw 2 hours ago was not live. There was a repeat of yesterday. I've just been saying, I'm going to tell my staff to quit running things so close to each other on Facebook and on the social media, so it's just too much coming to you. Hello to Bashi and Bongi. Hello to Nagante. Hello to Robina and Krasé and Judith. Hello to Buti. And hello to Gift Kamata. Beautiful. Wow, what a name. Gift Kamata from Zambia. I love that. Hello to Rand Shan Su Singh. Hello to Leonard and Galen. Well, a lot of you are coming on. Bless you. Crystal says, how do I like Florida? Well, I like Florida very much because my family's here. That's really the reason I moved. I'm not sure if I like the weather. I lived here for 20 years, a long time ago. So weather is, I'm going to have to get used to it again because California's weather was just heavenly. May I have a little water, please? So sorry. The only thing is about the air conditioning here. In Cali, I didn't have to put it on. Now it stays on all the time. That's the only difference. Anyways, hello to Ali Gaba. Hello to Yvonne and Melanie, Margaret. God bless you all. Okay, I'm going to start teaching, and I'm going to wait till my good brother. No, Chad, just room temperature, please. I'm going to begin by reading Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And I'd like you all to follow with me. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm reading Romans chapter 6 for you that are just joining us. And I was just saying earlier, I just saw where they aired, my staff aired yesterday's teaching 2 hours ago. And I'm going to tell them not to do that because it's too close to when I go live. So I continue now with verse 3 of Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, pay attention to what he says because it's so powerful. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. This is the real Christian life. Death to self, death to the world, death to the flesh, and a new life in Christ Jesus. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He just gave us the secret to freedom from sin. This is one of the most powerful things in this chapter, that our old man is crucified with him, and then the body of sin will be destroyed. So you cannot be free from sin without really living the crucified life, which I will explain today. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So only those who deny the flesh can really have new life in Jesus. By the way, I just want to stop here. The air is blowing really cold. You mind putting it up? Thank you. That's what Florida is like, you just asked. Anyways, verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, this is very important, reckon ye also yourselves. Now, the word reckon here means consider also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, that's not a mental exercise to consider. It's a decision we make that we will no longer live for the flesh and the things of the flesh. And God has given us the power to say no. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore. So it's in our power. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Wow. So you and I have the power to say, I am not going to be ruled by sin anymore. Neither yield ye your members, meaning your body, your mind, your eyes, your ears, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, which is daily, by the way, we do that, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then he concludes, for then sin, because that's the conclusion of what he just said up to verse 13. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. Now, the Bible teaches in this portion that through the cross, the believer has been saved from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, from the presence of sin. I'm going to repeat that one more time. The Bible teaches us very clearly that through the cross we are delivered from the penalty of sin, we're saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. Now here's what this means. Many believers only seem to know about the past tense. I was saved. I was saved. Salvation in the past. They know that the cross has cleared their past account. But they incorrectly think. They think that now they can leave the cross behind them. And now they can move into the blessing of the Christian life. But Jesus said something powerful. He said, no, the cross is not behind you. You carry it with you for the rest of your life. That's where the freedom comes. Because if we see the cross as a past experience, we cannot live in liberty today or tomorrow. So the cross must be a daily experience. So salvation is not past. Salvation is past, present, and future. Because we have to live the crucified life. We have to deny self continually. But you cannot deny self, and you cannot deny the world, if the world is a part of your life. I've been telling you, and I'm going to say it again, a soldier of Jesus Christ cannot be entangled in the affairs of this world, in the affairs of this life. How can we live the Christian life if we accept the bombardments of the world that come at us from all directions? No, I'm not asking you to go live in a cave somewhere in the desert, because that doesn't work either. But you cannot allow the world to have dominion in your life, because when you feed the flesh with the flesh will run your life. So it is time, really, it's high time to disconnect from this present world, meaning no more watching television. No more watching soap operas. No more watching things that feed the flesh. Programs that feed the flesh. I know I may be stepping on somebody's toes, but if you really want to know Christianity, I've got to share this with you. You cannot be watching all day long CNN and Fox News and NBC News and MSNBC or news that you watch in your own countries, and you're so involved in what's happening politically and economically and the world out there, and think you're going to be a victorious Christian. It's just not going to work. Yes, it's important to know what's happening around us, but not to be so involved in it, not to be so attached to it. I mean, the Lord Jesus was very clear. He knew that a tower fell in Jerusalem. He knew that people were killed by the tower. He knew that Pilate had offered the blood of certain people and so on. I mean, he knew all that. But there was no place in the Word of God where it says that we have to be entangled in what's going on out there. So we cannot dominate sin if sin is getting into our mind. You know, the old song, you know, watch... little eyes what you see and watch, little ears what you hear, and all that was songs in Sunday school. When my kids were in Sunday school, I would hear it. And it's true. You cannot allow pollution into your life, because pollution will end up destroying people. Destroy people. So, okay, we all need, I get it, we all need to be entertained. But can't we find something godly, holy, pure and righteous and heavenly, that can, you know, take our time or get our attention? Must we be watching shows like The Voice and get so involved? Must we watch programs that are demonic in nature so we can think we've had fun with it? Most of what you see on TV today is demonic. And if you don't watch, say, well, you know, I don't watch TV. Well, how about the commercials are demonic? You can't even escape seeing demonic pictures today on TV. Well, how can anyone live the Christian life being bombarded by that stuff? That's like impossible. I'm just being as open as I can with you. When I had crusades, the Lord forbade me to even look at newspapers or listen to the radio or TV. And to this day, I still don't. I've become so accustomed, I'm talking to you and Chad, I've become so accustomed to not let the world in that I'm finding peace I've never known before, joy I've never known before. I don't want to know about the world. I'm not in it. We're not in the world. We are strangers on this earth. We are heavenly citizens. We're to let our light shine so these people in darkness can see that we are different. Now, Jesus said in Luke 14:27, you take the cross with you. The cross is not a past experience. The cross is a daily experience. So salvation, look, salvation is way more than freedom or pardon. Salvation is way more than freedom from the past or pardon from the sins of the past. Way more than that. It deals with those, it deals with what's within the cross. Now let's look at what the cross really signifies, okay? Because the cross, just because a cross is on a church building or somebody is wearing it around their neck or whatever, the cross has to do with what? The execution of a criminal. It talks about death. Today, we would compare the cross to the electric chair, frankly, because back then that's how they killed murderers and thieves and so forth. A criminal under Roman law was crucified. So what does it represent? It represents shame, number one. Shame. So all that, and please hear this, all that accompanied the crucifixion, including the execution itself, was shameful and painful. Jesus experienced shame and pain. The condemned man was whipped, he was mocked. You can see that happened to the Lord in Matthew 27. And the procession of execution, the procession of the cross, was the you walked with people mocking you and screaming at you. And the prisoner had to carry his own cross. What if Jesus did it? He's asking us to do the same. But what does this mean in our day, in our life? Keep listening. I'll explain. So, the wonder, wow, is not that Jesus was obedient to only death. He was obedient to the death of the cross. It's not just that, Chad, sweet people, it's not just that he died. He experienced the shame, the pain, the mocking, and so much more of the cross. So embracing the cross means Galatians 5:11. And this is what people maybe don't pay attention to. I will glory in the cross, but the cross, when you live the crucified life, the world will mock you. The world will insult you. The world will say nasty things against you. The world will persecute you because there is what is called the offense of the cross. Galatians chapter 5, verse 11. I loved what Billy Graham used to say, how the cross exposes who we really are. Are we real Christians or not? Galatians 5:11, Paul says this, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased?" So persecution is what happens to people who live the life of the cross. People will persecute you for living the Christian life, where you deny the world, say, no, I don't want any part of it. I don't want to, you know, be connected to it. That's not my world. So, number one, shame. Shame means persecution. Okay? Number two, it represents weakness. We have to reach that place where we are completely dependent upon the Lord. The cross means dependence on God Almighty, not my own strength. Look, in Psalm 22, 14 and 15, it talks about the weakness of the cross. Where the Lord, and in the Psalms, David talks about how, now I like to read that Psalm 22, because Psalm 22 is very prophetic about the Lord. And it says this, "I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels." What does it speak of? It speaks of weakness, helplessness. So Paul says to us that Jesus was crucified in weakness, meaning he was dependent on his heavenly Father to keep him. So the cross is designed to bring us to the end of ourselves, to the end of our resources, to the end of our strengths, where we become completely dependent upon the Lord God Almighty. Simple. So the crucified life, when I embrace the cross, I embrace the shame of the cross. Meaning, I'll be willing to be persecuted even if you know, like these precious people, 300 million of them today, under persecution. What have they done? They've embraced the cross. They're willing to suffer persecution. All who live godly will suffer persecution. Number two, it brings me to the end of myself and resources to say, I trust in God, not my own strength. Number three, it represents death. When Jesus spoke of bearing the cross, he spoke of death because the cross speaks of death. The cross lies at the heart of the Christian message. Without the cross, there really is no Christianity. The gospel was never intended to give us a spring cleaning. Okay? The gospel was not intended to brighten us up or to make us a little more acceptable to God. The gospel came to finish us, not to brighten us, not to clean us up. It came to finish us, death. So that then you can say, I'm a new creation. You cannot say I'm a new creation if the old isn't dead. Can you see it? Can you see it? Okay. When I embrace the cross, I embrace persecution. When I embrace the cross, I embrace the end of my resources to say, Lord, I cannot depend on myself. And when I embrace the cross, I embrace death to self so I can be reborn into a new creation, because I can't hang on to the old life if I don't embrace the death of the cross. The death of the cross means I'm no longer that Ben-Hin of the past. I'm a new Ben-Hin today. I have no past record. I have no past life. I don't have to go back and say, oh my, I miss this and I miss that. I miss nothing of my past life. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So, Jesus looked towards the future. It says that he endured by seeing what? The church. He endured the cross by seeing the joy of glory. We endure the shame and the weakness and the death of the cross by seeing the reward. By seeing heaven. Jesus endured. How? By looking ahead for the joy that was set before him. Mal bakol al metro. I love it. For the joy that's set before us, we endure shame and weakness and death of the cross. This is where the devil goes crazy. He cannot touch you if you're not a part of his world. He can't. He has no place. He has no access into that blessed place that we call the hiding place. The hiding place is the place of crucifixion. People are looking for parties, and the Holy Ghost was not given so you can have a good time. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit was not given so we Christians can say, I'm having fun, I'm having a good time. No, he was given to give, to mortify the flesh, it says in Romans. To kill the flesh. Give us a new beginning, a new life, that the old life does not exist anymore. Okay. And when you do that, four things will happen to you. Number one, you'll be released from the dominion of sin. Because there'll be no sin in you, you know. If there's nothing in you, what will the devil use? We give him the weapons. We give the devil the weapons to use when we fill our head and our hearts with the world. And if the world isn't there, he's got nothing to use against us. So we force him out. We say, no, you have no place in my life. That doesn't mean that the flesh or this mortal life will be totally perfect, you know. There's no such thing till resurrection day. But Paul lived it. Jesus was our example, and he was a real man, like a real man. Adam was not a real man. Adam didn't have parents. How can anyone be a real man with no parents? Adam, when God created him, he was fully grown. Jesus was a baby and experienced growth. So who was the real man, Adam or Jesus? Jesus. Adam had no lineage. Jesus did. Adam didn't come from a nation. Jesus did. Adam did not come from humanity. Jesus did. Hallelujah. So we can identify with the Lord Jesus way more than we can identify with Adam. And Jesus lived a sinless life, tempted in all points, even as we are. And Paul the Apostle gave us the secret. He said, shall we go on sinning? No. Why? Because we're dead. And baptism means I'm dead. Most people get baptized to get wet. Or something, whatever. Have some experience, so I was baptized. But what does it mean? It means death. Death to the old life. No longer do I live for this world. So, Paul, you know, amazingly, Paul in Romans 6 doesn't say we are to die to sin. He says we're dead to it already. We're not to die to it. We're dead. Wow. So the cross, hallelujah, the cross makes us fruitful. It brings fruit in our life when we take the shame of it and we say, okay, I'll accept persecution, Lord. We take the weakness of it and, Lord, I'm going to come to the end of my resources. We come to a place where, you know, I'm willing to die. I don't want to live for myself and the world. I want to live for Jesus. That's what the cross means. So we're not carrying a piece of wood or wearing something around our neck. It's way more than that. It's living the life. And Jesus talked about in John 12 how the cross will bring fruit. Hallelujah. And the fruit and the key to fruitfulness is mentioned in 2 Corinthians. I'm almost done, so don't walk away from me. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. And you know what? That's why many people cannot get healed. They're not living the life of the cross. You know, may I say something quite powerful? When Israel came out of Egypt, they were healed. Meaning, in Egypt, there's disease. You have to leave Egypt to be healed. Egypt is the world. When people live in the world, how can they be healed? When they left Egypt, they were healed. As long as they were in Egypt, they were sick. That's why God said, the sickness you knew in Egypt, because in Egypt they were sick. He said, I'm the God that healeth thee, and if you will do what I tell you, you'll not know the sickness you knew in Egypt, meaning they got sick in Egypt. What is Egypt? It's not about some country in the Middle East. It's about the world. Egypt is the world. It's symbolic of the world. So God says, come out from among them, I'll receive you. People have been to my crusades who got healed, went back to Egypt and got sick again. Oh, you know, I lost my healing. Yeah, you went back to Egypt. What do you expect? You went back to the world. What do you expect? Stay out of Egypt, stay out of the world, and you'll stay healed. Quite simple. So, I'm getting your attention, I hope. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:10. Always bearing about in the body, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, meaning the crucified life. I've just been talking about that. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Look at verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Meaning healing comes when I identify with the cross. And how do I identify with the cross? I just told you. I take the shame of it and accept persecution. I become weak and lose all my resources and depend on God. Number three, I die to self. I mean, how simple is that? Then I can be healed and stay healed. So identifying with the cross, you know, isn't something difficult and complicated and confusing. No. Jesus said, carry your cross. Take it with you for the rest of your life. It's not something from yesterday. It's daily. I daily, I choose. Lord, I'll gladly take the shame of the cross rather than the glories of this world. If they mock me, let them. Persecute me, let them. Cut me off, let them. Whatever, I don't care. And two, I'll gladly be weak so he can be strong. I'm not dependent on my own strength. I never have. Whenever I did, I fell. I hit the floor. You cannot depend on yourself because there's no strength in you. Our dependence is completely upon the Lord. So we have to surrender daily. It's not a one-time thing from the past. And number three, I choose to die to the things of this world. I am not a citizen of the United States. My body is, but I'm not. I'm not a citizen of Israel. My body is. I'm not. I'm a citizen of heaven, and so are you. We still need a passport so we can run, we can, you know, travel. But spiritually, we do not belong to this earth. And then we have to begin to identify, even physically and mentally, with heaven, to where we're not connected. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to see it here on earth. Disconnect from yourself today from all the madness out there. Identify with the cross. And when we put the flesh to death by the Spirit, and that's the only way, I cannot do it on my own strength. I ask the Holy Spirit, help me do this. Please. Romans 8:13 says, we crucify the flesh by the Holy Spirit. Now, when I do that, it's my pathway to glory. Because the Bible says, when I accept the shame, weakness, and death of the cross, what will come upon me is the glory of God. Meaning, the Holy Ghost will be mine completely. Look what Peter said about this. This is so mighty. And then I'm done. I want to pray for you, okay? So, 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 14. Okay, here's what it says. If you be reproached for the name of Jesus, happy are you. If you experience the shame, weakness, and death of the cross, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory, wow, the Spirit of God is resting on you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. On your part, he is glorified. Wow. You know, I so love the presence of the Lord in my life. Oh, dear Jesus, what would I do without that? I so love that beautiful peace in my heart. I so love that beauty in my soul. I will not exchange that for all the world can offer me. I promise you before God Almighty, I mean that. I have found such peace. I have found such rest. I have found such joy in Jesus. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That protection. I will serve the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. In him I trust, not myself. He'll deliver you from plagues, from disease, from sickness. No plague will ever come near you if you're dead. You know Romans 8, right? We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. But nobody ever preaches about what Paul says right in the same chapter right there with it. We are dead. Yeah. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will persecution? Will, you know, anything in life that comes against us, pain and suffering and this and that? No. Why? Because we're dead. You read that in Romans. In fact, you know what? I'll read it for you right now, and then I'll close. Because people love to preach on, you know, Romans 8. You know, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Okay, you're more than a conqueror, but what does it say first? Let's look at it, saints. Verse 35, Romans 8. Who shall separate us separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or sword? Verse 36 is the heart of it. It is written, for thy sake we're killed all day long. When I die, a dead man is not affected by tribulation. A dead man is not affected by distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Because he's dead. Then the dead man will say, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. Why? Because Jesus now is living in me fully. I know today this message is not being preached. That's why I gotta preach it. I'm tired of people not getting the message. I'm tired of preachers not preaching it. You hear about how to win, how to succeed, how to prosper, how to be on top. Nobody talks about how to die. Well, I've chosen to preach this because that's the only thing that's going to keep you. All the stuff you hear today about how to succeed and win and be on top and all this, it's about to collapse. It's not going to last. This message of hope out there is a lie. It's a lie. It's a feel-good message. It's a lie. Those big preachers on TV want to talk to you about how to stay, you know, how to feel good, how to, a big, you know, how-to list on it's all emotional. It's all about feeling right or something. That message will not last when the things that are happening are going to get worse, way worse. Only one message will last. The cross. To carry the cross and live the Christian life. Father, use this message to speak to your people, to deny self and the world, and live for you wholly and completely daily, 24 hours a day. Let your mighty presence, Lord, touch your people. Let them hunger for that. Let them seek for it with all their hearts. And yes, Lord, meet every need. Meet every need, whether it be spiritual or emotional or physical or even financial. Because you always take care of us, no matter what problem we have. I give you praise. Touch your people in Jesus' name. Get ready. You choose the cross-filled life. You have just chosen the glory of God and His presence, His strength and His healing power. I promise you that. Now it's time to give to the Lord's work. It's time to obey His word. The greatest givers are those who are living the Christian life truly, because they don't see it as their money. They see it as God's money. I sat with a man one day, precious man of God. He was weeping. Very rich man. He began to weep. He said, I know why God gave me money, so I can give it for the gospel. He began to weep uncontrollably. So precious to see that, because he was dead. You know, that money wasn't his. He didn't see it as his. He saw himself as a channel to bless others. But when they hang on to their money, they're alive. When they're greedy, they're alive. But when they give, givers are dead. Givers are dead and takers are alive. So, are you a giver or a taker? A true Christian is a giver, because he says, it doesn't belong to me. God gave it to me. I give it back to him because I want to honor him and worship him with my offering so he can keep blessing me. So Lord, meet that need as they do that, as they honor you, as they give to your work. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. You can sow right there on the platform you're watching me on. I really hope you enjoyed today's teaching, because I really just came from my heart to you. Okay, you can sow right there on that platform, Benny Hinn Ministries, or you can go to our website, bennyhinn.org, or simply text it, BHM. It's on the screen for you. Right, it's on the screen. BHM 45777. And then tomorrow is healing service. 1 p.m. Don't miss it. And join BHI today. And by the way, one more thing. If anyone sends you a message asking for money and saying they're Benny Hinn, don't you believe it. It's not me. I don't do that. If I'm going to ask you for an offering, you're going to see my face. This face from Israel is going to talk to you live. I'm not going to send you some, you know, put something on social media, because a lot of people today are crooks out there that say they are Benny Hinn. They're not Benny Hinn. And they use my pictures with my wife and pictures with my family. That's wickedness to the core. But if it's from our ministry, you're going to get a letter from our ministry that's verified. And only if you're partners, you're going to get it. Okay? Or our platform that is verified, not somebody else. So please be careful, I beg you. Save your money. Give it to the Lord properly. And if I'm going to ever ask you to help, you'll see this face talking to you. Love you.